While Robert stood there, glaring down at his sons and silently daring them to push him too far today. "You don't want to play this game with me today, boys," he warned them quietly, but since they were his sons, they ignored the warning and focused all their attention on the beautiful woman walking into the nursery. The pleased smile that Elizabeth wore each morning when she greeted their sons instantly changed to panic as she caught sight of the twins standing there in their nightshirts, suddenly looking lost and a little terrified, as both the boys released matching sniffles and sobs that would have even the most heartless of bastards feeling bad for them. It just made him want to put them over his knee and spank the hell out of them for trying to pull this shit on him. He'd been the one who'd taught them that trick to manipulate Elizabeth into making them extra apple tarts, and they were trying to use it on him? Oh, they had so much to learn. "Good morning, Minx," he said, smiling, and letting her know just how happy he was to see her, as he smoothly stepped in front of their sons and pulled her into his arms. She looked better than she had last night, but he could still see exhaustion marring her beautiful expression. She needed this week away, now more than ever, and he wasn't going to let anything, especially the boys, that he trained a little too well, ruin this for her. So, pretending that he couldn't hear his son sobbing quietly in a ploy to gain their mother's sympathy, he gave her a proper good morning kiss. One of the boys, most likely Sean, sobbed a little louder, trying to gain his mother's attention, but it was pointless, and they both knew it. As long as Robert had Elizabeth in his arms, nothing else mattered. Besides, she trusted him, and knew that he would never ignore the children if they were really hurt. So when she wrapped her arms around his shoulders and pulled him down to return his kiss with a sweet little sigh, it nearly had him sweeping her off her feet and bringing her back to their room. Just before he let his cock lead him around, he remembered that they had a purpose. "Are you ready?" he asked as he pulled back, pausing only long enough to tease her lips with his. When he caught her worrying her bottom lip between her teeth and shooting the manipulative boy standing on either side of him now a look, he knew that she was having second thoughts. It was something that he simply couldn't allow. So keeping his smile easy, he reached down, grabbed both boys by the back of their shirts, and picked them up. "Kiss your mother goodbye," he said firmly, ignoring the murderous glares that they were sending him as they crossed their arms stubbornly over their chests. "She stays," Noah said firmly, as though his word was law. Sean seconded it with a firm nod that earned them both a subtle shake and a reminder of who they were dealing with. He might love his children more than his own life and do whatever it took to keep them safe and happy, but not at their mother's expense, and they knew it. She needed a break from this chaos, and he was going to make sure that she got it. "Fine," Noah growled, even as he reached over, grabbed onto his mother's shoulders, used his hold on her so that he could kiss her cheek. With that done, his brother followed suit. Robert placed them both on their feet, ruffled their hair, and just because he had a soft spot for his boys, he slipped them each a penny to buy sweets while they were gone. "We'll be back in a week," he told the boys, as his eyes locked on his beautiful wife, who was already starting to fret over leaving the boys. "Yay, see you in a week," Noah yelled excitedly as he raced for the door, his brother hot on his heels, apparently forgetting all about them, as they raced towards the sounds of Mrs. Brown in the kitchen, where they would probably pester her until she gave in, stopped what she was doing, and brought them to town so that they could buy their fill of sweets. As he watched his boys, who were technically still babies, run out of the room to hunt down Mrs. Brown, he shoved the terror aside and told himself that the fact that they looked closer to 3 years old and acted like they were 10 years old didn't frighten him. Nope, not at all. "They're fine," Elizabeth said with a reassuring smile, no doubt reading the worry on his face and knowing exactly what was bothering him. "I know," he said, smiling fondly down at his wife, deciding that it was easier to believe that everything was going to be okay than to worry that there was something wrong with his sons. "According to your mother, you were a big boy too," Elizabeth reminded him with a teasing smile, the same one that had the power to instantly soothe the panic that threatened to take over and knock him on his ass. "They're fine," she reassured him with a smile as she reached up and ran her fingers through his hair, gently cupping the back of his head, and she leaned up and kissed him. "They're fine," she repeated, knowing exactly what he needed to hear. Less than a year old, and they could eat almost as much as him. Thank God he'd managed to put extra food away this winter, as well as some extra money, otherwise they would have been in a lot of trouble. Next year, he's going to have to double the amount of food he... Elizabeth ran her fingers through his hair as she smiled against his lips. "We'll be fine. Stop worrying so much." "It's my job to worry," he reminded her with a wink as he cupped her face in his hand and brushed his lips against hers one last time, so tempted to say the hell with Boston and spend the next week in bed, finding new and interesting ways to make her moan his name. "No," she said, brushing her lips against his. "It's not." It was, but he wasn't going to stand there, wasting time arguing about something that didn't matter. She was his responsibility, his heart, his soul, and he would be absolutely lost without her. "We're going to miss the coach," he said, trying to pretend that it didn't kill him, that he couldn't afford to bring his wife up to Boston in a private coach and do this the right way, the way that she deserved. But they couldn't take the poor excuse that they had for a coach, not when Mrs. Brown and the boys might need it while they were out of town. He'd make this up to her, he decided, as he allowed himself one last kiss. "Are you sure that we should be going?" she asked hesitantly, but he didn't miss the excited quiver in her voice or point out the fact that she'd clearly hit exhaustion yesterday and needed to get out of the house almost as badly as he needed to show her that she hadn't made a mistake in choosing him. "Absolutely," he said firmly, eager to show her that she may not have married a rich man, but she had married the right one. Chapter 5
"Robert, are you okay?"
she foolishly asked, when it was clear that he wasn't. He opened his mouth, thought better of it, continued to squeeze his eyes shut, and nodded his head as the back of his knuckles turned pale white from the grip that he had on the rickety old bench that seemed to be going out of its way to jostle poor Robert every other second as the stagecoach made its way north.
"Are you sure?"
she asked quietly, as she laid one of her hands over his, nearly yanking it back seconds later when she realized how hot it was. He felt like he was on fire, and judging by the pained expression on his face and the fact that his normally handsome, tan face had leached of color, she didn't think that it would be too long before the other passengers cowering in the corners away from him would figure out that he was sick and...
"He's sick! Pull over!"
John, a large, beefy farmer who'd been staring at her cleavage for the past hour, suddenly screeched, emphasizing his panic by pounding one meaty fist against the wall of the coach until the coachman finally had enough and pulled the coach to a stop. The coach had barely a chance to come to a complete stop when the five other passengers leapt from the carriage in a desperate attempt to get away from Robert and whatever disease they feared he carried. She opened her mouth to chastise them and tell them that they were acting foolish when Robert mumbled,
"Oh no,"
shoved the small door on his side of the carriage open and stumbled out of the carriage, where he soon fell to his hands and knees and lost the blueberry turnovers that he'd bought at the inn while they'd waited for the coach to arrive. Not knowing what else to do, she followed after Robert and knelt down by his side while he continued to cough and his large body trembled. She put her hand on his back to offer him some comfort and nearly swore when she realized that his jacket was soaked through with sweat and that he was trembling. So when the coach unceremoniously continued its journey to Boston, she didn't say anything, because she knew there was nothing that she could say to any of them that would change their minds, so she didn't. She simply knelt by her husband, rubbing his sweat-soaked back while the carriage pulled away, rocking noisily while she knelt there, trying to figure out what they should do.
"Kill me,"
Robert groaned, apparently deciding on a course of action, as he shoved himself away from what had once been his breakfast and curled up on the rock-infested dirt road, closed his eyes, and waited for death to come for him. Ignoring his plea for a quick death, she contemplated their options as she asked,
"What did she make you?" "Beef stew," and some brown bread, he muttered with a pathetic groan as he curled up into a tighter ball, squeezed his eyes shut tightly as his handsome face took on a rather frightening shade of gray. Beef stew, she asked hollowly, because if there was one thing that everyone in town knew about Mrs. Kinley, besides the fact that she couldn't cook to save her life, it was that the only thing that she cooked was mutton, and that was only if she could get a good price for it, which meant that she usually waited to buy her meat when it was mere minutes from being thrown away.
Yeah,
Robert groaned in agreement as he rolled over onto his side with a grunt, dug his fingers into the packed dirt marked by coach wheels, hooves, and, well, she really didn't want to think about what else the horses had left behind, since her husband was now rolling around in it. Rubbing her hands roughly down her face, as she tried not to think of a lot of things, but there was just one thing that she couldn't let go. Robert, she said, trying to figure out the best way to ask this, without getting an answer that would terrify her.
Mmm,
he managed to ask, as he rolled over, groaning loudly, and making a big show out of dying. You do realize that Mrs. Kinley only cooks mutton, right? A groan. And you know that she only cooks one pot of mutton stew, usually the first of the month, and she keeps it until it's gone. She slowly reminded him, something that he really should have remembered this morning before he did the unthinkable. Another groan. It's the 25th. She pointed out slowly, waiting for comprehension to hit, and when it did, Robert swore, rolled over, and made her wince as he finished getting sick and ridding his body of the rest of the stew that he'd eaten this morning. Well, at least that explained the green fuzzy stuff, she thought, turning her head as she felt her stomach threaten to lurch.
Shit,
he grumbled as he rolled back over, a safe distance away from the mess he'd just made, and commenced with mumbling for God to spare him, so that his children wouldn't have to grow up without him, and that his wife wouldn't be forced to go on without him, probably never finding a man half as wonderful as him. She missed most of it, but what she did catch had her rolling her eyes and taking another look around, trying to figure out what she was going to do with him. Since trying to bring him to Boston was probably pointless now, that only left her with one option. She needed to find a way to drag her incredibly heavy husband back the way they came, and she needed to figure out a way to do it without any money, she realized, as she slowly turned around and watched the mail coach finally disappear down the long lane and through the woods, along with their bags, her purse, and Robert's coat, where he always kept his billfold. At least she wouldn't have to figure out how they were going to afford to feed Robert on the trip home, she told herself, trying to find the bright side of things. But of course, that was the moment when Robert chose to roll over once again and leave another puddle of, well, it wasn't important what was coming out of him, just as long as it was coming out, she decided, as she waited for him to stop dry heaving. Pulling her bottom lip between her teeth, she reached down to run her fingertips over the familiar metal case that she carried everywhere, only to remember that she'd left her reticule in the coach. The same coach that was even now trying to put as much distance between them before nightfall, as fast as their team of horses could take them.
Oh, God,
she mumbled, swallowing hard as she felt her heart sink. She started to take a step towards the coach, unable to help herself, when the pain groan stopped her. Biting back the tears, she clenched her jaw shut tightly, struggling not to cry, as she forced herself to stay there, when all she wanted to do was grab her skirts and run after that coach before it was too late, and the most precious thing in the world to her was gone forever. But she knew that no matter how fast she ran, how loud she screamed, that the coach was never going to stop for her. It was gone. Two of the most precious moments of her life were gone forever, and there was nothing that she could do about it except stand there and let them go.
Son of a bitch,
he moaned miserably, closing his eyes as he willed the damn cramping to stop, sending shooting pain throughout his stomach when he saw the look on his wife's face when she reached down to run her fingers over the silver case that she carried everywhere, only to end up curling her fingers into a fist and releasing a small whimper when she realized that the portrait case that matched his own was gone. He couldn't allow that to happen. He couldn't allow her to lose something that brought her peace and made her smile every time she brushed her fingers over the smooth metal case that their families had commissioned as a belated wedding gift for them. It was the one thing in the world that she cherished and couldn't seem to go 5 minutes without touching. It was something that he found sweet and endearing, and he'd be damned if he was going to lose seeing that every day. Shit, he groaned, pressing his hand tightly to his stomach as he rolled over and forced his trembling legs to work as he clumsily pushed himself up onto his feet and stumbled past Elizabeth, who stood there looking absolutely devastated.
Robert?
She asked, her voice breaking, as she absently reached up with a shaky hand and wiped away the tears rolling down her face, trying to pretend that her heart wasn't breaking and making him more determined than ever to do this.
I'm fine,
he ground out, pressing his hand firmly against his stomach and threatening to feed it only chicken broth for the rest of his life if it didn't calm down long enough so that he could go hunt that coach down and get the small portrait of the boys that Elizabeth loved so much back for his wife. With his free hand, he absently reached into the matching metal case that he carried everywhere with him, needing the comfort that it normally gave him when he thought he was too tired or sore to keep going. The metal case held everything dear to him in this world, and he'd be damned if he gave that up without a fight. Desperation and fear that they would lose the precious trinkets forever, he gritted his teeth, pressed his hand against his stomach harder, and promptly passed out. Chapter 6. Several hours, a twisted ankle, sprained wrist, countless number of bruises and abrasions, and an incredibly sore back later.
If he makes it through the night, send someone to get me in the morning.
The pudgy man, that had been passed out in the corner of the tavern when they'd arrived earlier, said with a slur as he reached for the mug of ale that he demanded as payment before he would give her his professional opinion. The 3 shots of whiskey that she had to buy only covered dragging poor Robert up the stairs, dumping him on the ratty old mattress after making sure that he wasn't already dead, so that they wouldn't have to waste their time or risk throwing out their backs for a corpse. Then again, that was only after she had to swear up and down that Robert wasn't contagious, which of course she did, as soon as she'd managed to stumble into town, chased off a group of boys who were ransacking through their things since the coach driver and the passengers had apparently decided to dump their belongings in the middle of the busy yard, where several coaches and at least 1 or 2 horses had trampled their things into the mud and other things that she really didn't want to think about, along with word that they were carrying the plague. After the warm welcome that they'd received, which involved threats to get the law if they didn't keep going and a few rocks being thrown in their direction, she'd had about as much nonsense as she could take. So, once she'd rationally explained that Robert had food poisoning and that neither one of them were a danger to the town and had accidentally bloodied the lip of the constable, who'd foolishly grabbed her by the arm and tried to force her out of town, she'd grabbed their things, salvaged what she could, and managed to find enough money to pay for a room for the night, and booze to make up for splitting the constable's lip, and of course, the town's doctor's fee. They'd been shown to a room. Robert had been examined by the man who smelled like he slept with the pigs, and had been declared to be alive. For the moment at least, but he didn't hold out much hope that Robert would survive the night. Well, that was the town drunk's opinion, and since Robert's collar was looking better, he'd stopped trembling and was now curled up on his side, lightly snoring and snuggling with a stained, lumpy pillow, probably thinking it was her, and sighing with satisfaction and mumbling about her biscuits and jam, which of course led her to believe that he was going to be just fine. She wasn't exactly sure that she could say the same about herself. The dress she was wearing was ruined, as well as the dresses that she'd packed. Even the 2 dresses the boys had managed to run off with were probably ruined as well. They'd also managed to steal her other pair of walking shoes, her best pair of stockings, and of course, her purse. Most of Robert's things had been ruined, but he still had one complete suit, one of the small sketch pads that he liked to carry with him, so that he could draw designs before he forgot them, walking shoes, a couple of pencil stubs, and the money that he always kept hidden in a secret compartment of his bag for emergencies. Everything else was gone, her purse, his money clip, and most importantly, the miniature portraits their parents had commissioned of the boys and of them. One of the boys, or maybe even one of the men having one too many drinks downstairs in the tavern had taken them, probably hoping to get something for the silver cases. She could care less about the cases. They could have them, just as long as they gave her back the portraits and the locks of hair that they'd taken from the boys. Well, that, and the man currently mumbling about apple turnovers as he hugged the old pillow tighter. At least he was fine for the moment, she told herself, deciding that was enough for right now. She'd focus on taking care of him and making him feel better, and then she'd try to find a way to pay to have two more miniatures done. It wouldn't be cheap, but she'd find a way to have them done. She'd take in extra sewing, work down at the tavern, the bakery. She'd give up her pin money for sweets, make her dresses last a little longer, anything, so that she could recapture those precious moments before they were lost forever. But first, she sighed heavily as she looked at her husband, who was now murmuring sweet nothings into his pillow as he snuggled it closer, and she would swear on this to her dying day, giggled in his sleep a few seconds before the color once again leached from his face, and he rolled over and proved that his stomach really was a bottomless pit.
Oh, God,
Robert groaned manfully as he rolled over and cracked one eye open to confirm that yes, he was in fact laying on a cold wood floor. Fully opening his eyes, he rolled over onto his back with a pained grunt and tried to figure out why he was sleeping on the floor instead of on a bed. He also wondered why he was starving, sore, and felt like every inch of his body had been scrubbed raw. Then, of course, came the question of why he was naked, with only a sheet wrapped around his waist, and a very angry, middle-aged woman standing over him, with her arms crossed over her flat chest, as she tapped her foot impatiently on the floor, by his head.
"Get out!"
she snapped, that damn foot of her never ceasing in its tapping. And he would love nothing more than to get the hell out of there. But there were just a few things stopping him at the time, like, "Where's my wife?" he asked pleasantly, even as he shot her a look that told her exactly what would happen if something had happened to Elizabeth. He grabbed hold of the sheet, covering his manhood, to make sure that the rather angry-looking woman didn't get a clear shot at it as he stood up. He absently looked around the small, plain room that appeared as though it had recently been scrubbed clean. The room was still dingy, but at least now it smelled like fresh lemons and wax. "She's downstairs working off the rest of your tab," she said in a disapproving tone as she flicked one of her hands towards the corner where his suit waited for him. "What do you mean she's working off my tab?" he snapped, grabbing his pants as he felt the old anger that he'd worked so hard to destroy, trying to make its way back to the surface. But he would never let it resurface, not after Elizabeth came into his life and changed everything. Then again, if someone had hurt his wife, she only had enough money to cover the cost of the doctor and the room for one night. She had to work off the rest, the woman said firmly as she headed toward the door, pausing only long enough to send him a scathing look, as though this were somehow all his fault, and as much as he'd like to scream at the woman and tell her that it wasn't, something told him that it was.
"They're still waiting for their breakfast,"
Miss Bridget, the owner's sister, and someone that was probably going to give her nightmares for years, said with a contemptuous smile that pretty much said it all. She'd enjoyed every last minute of misery that she'd inflicted upon Elizabeth in the last 72 hours. Not that Elizabeth had ever believed that Miss Bridget had offered to allow her to work off most of the bill out of the kindness of her heart, because she knew better. Well, that, and the fact that Miss Bridget got a creepy little smile of satisfaction on her face whenever she asked Elizabeth to do something. She seemed to take great satisfaction in finding something wrong with her work and ordering her to do it over again. But this time, she had better do it right. I'm bringing them out now, she said, using that same smile that she used to use on her parents when she had to go along with something that she didn't want to do, just to keep everyone happy, as she grabbed two plates overflowing with eggs, ham, and biscuits, and headed for the tavern, where the same group of men that had stayed up drinking whiskey and ale all night and offered her a few coins to sit on their laps were now nursing hangovers and demanding food. God, she was tired. But she was trying not to think about that right now, because she still had to go make sure that Robert was okay and try to get him to eat something. He was looking a lot better than he had the night before, and she wanted him to keep looking that way. So she was doing every single demeaning chore thrown her way so that her husband could get more rest, and she had a little more time to figure out who'd stolen the rest of their things and come up with a plan to get them back.
You need to hurry up and finish the dishes before you leave, Miss Bridget said, deciding to push it and see just how much free labor she could get out of her before Elizabeth finally had enough, woke Robert up, and started the long walk back home, while she tried not to cry over how tired she was. God, she was exhausted. She'd thought she understood the word before, thanks to the babies and the schedule she'd made for herself. But working for 3 days straight for a tyrant like Miss Bridget had helped her redefine the definition of the word exhaustion. What she wouldn't give for a nice, exhausting day at home, where she was at least guaranteed 3 meals and a few minutes of sleep here and there, while she waited for one of her sons to start screaming, making his hunger known, and seriously terrifying her, because she'd never seen children, babies really, grow that fast. Or eat that much before. Sometimes, when she was able to fall asleep, she'd have nightmares about how they were going to keep up with the boys' ferocious appetites. She used to worry about Robert's appetite, sending them to the poorhouse, but his appetite had nothing on the boys. It was terrifying, and some days she wasn't sure that they'd make it through the day without the boys breaking down the pantry door and eating everything they had in storage. But thankfully, Robert was an excellent carpenter and had fortified the pantry door, ensuring that not even an army could break in there. She was always so scared that she could never do enough to not only make up for the past, but to show Robert that he hadn't made a mistake when he'd brought her with him. Even though America had come a long way since it had broken free from England and had become known throughout Europe as the land of opportunity, sometimes there was more opportunity for families if the women and children stayed behind while the men started lives for them here. Robert worked so hard to put food on their table and keep a roof over their head, she felt like she wasn't pulling her fair share if she wasn't putting in just as many hours as him and trying to find ways to earn her keep. She didn't want to be another burden for him, especially after everything that she'd put him through when they were children. She just wanted to make him happy. And she was terrified that she was never going to be able to do that. Maybe she should take the boys and return to England with James when it came time, so that Robert could have a real chance at building them a future here, without her getting in the way of his dreams. Leaving him would be the hardest thing that she'd ever done, but if staying away for a year or two gave him the chance that he needed to really establish himself here and make a life for them, then maybe that's what she should do. It was the right thing to do, she told herself, choking back the tears as she told herself that she was just tired and that her heart wasn't breaking in two. She owed it to Robert to do this. She owed him a real chance. Chapter 7
Should I call the magistrate? Mr. Bridget asked, shooting a nervous glance between Robert and the large man that he had pressed up against the wall by his throat. Yes, Robert said, as the son of a bitch that wasn't walking out of this tavern without a beating, practically screamed, No! Mr. Bridget sent the mean old crone that was apparently his sister a nervous glance, only to find her looking down her nose at him with a haughty sniff, making it clear, at least to her brother, what she thought of the whole mess. The bastard just attacked him for no reason. The asshole's buddy argued, but didn't dare come any closer, Robert noted,
as he tightened his hold around the piece of shit's neck and squeezed just enough to get his meaning across. Struggling to take his next breath, the asshole fumbled inside his coat and grabbed two silver cases and handed them over to Robert without another word. He didn't bother to ask about the money that had been with the cases, because he already knew that had been the first to go, and probably the reason that this son of a bitch and his friends smelled like cheap ale and even cheaper perfume. They'd spent his hard-earned money living it up with booze and whores, while his wife had worked her fingers to the bone to make sure that he was cared for. For that alone, Robert pulled back his fist and let it fly, breaking the asshole's nose. He dropped like a sack of potatoes at Robert's feet, and although his friends appeared to want to help him, the way Robert simply stepped away and calmly placed the silver cases in his coat pocket said it all. He wasn't looking for a fight, but he wasn't about to turn one down either. Not after finding out how truly fucked up this honeymoon was turning out to be.
Get out,
Mr. Bridget all but whispered as he took a healthy step away from Robert until he had a small tavern table between them with his sister by his side.
Just as soon as you tell me where my wife is, he drawled, giving the man's sister a look that told her that she should count herself lucky that he didn't hit women.
She's in the back, doing the dishes, she said in a stern voice that obviously expected to be obeyed.
Giving the brother a pitying look, Robert walked past them and headed towards the back hallway and found his wife, perhaps one of the strongest women that he'd ever met, sobbing quietly as she stood there sadly scrubbing a cracked plate clean. It was just the saddest thing that he'd ever seen. She just looked so helpless and sweet standing there, silently sobbing as she continued to try and wash the crack away, making him wonder just how long it had been since she'd slept. When her bottom lip quivered as a tiny little sliver broke free from the crack and hit the floor without a sound, he just couldn't take it anymore. It was just so damn sad and so damn cute. He knew that his wife's near breakdown was serious, and that he really shouldn't really find anything cute about this. But damn if that little lip quiver didn't have him biting back a smile and making him forget that he wanted to wring the neck of the innkeeper and his greedy sister. Almost. Sighs, another sliver fell to the ground, earning another lip quiver and a little sniffle that had him shaking his head and walking over to his wife, who was quietly sobbing over an old, cracked plate. Shaking his head, wondering why he hadn't put a stop to this sooner, he gently took the plate away from Elizabeth's trembling hands and set it on the counter. He pulled her into his arms. Everything's going to be okay, he promised her, as he pressed a kiss to the top of her head. Although she did nod in agreement as she grabbed onto his coat and buried her face against his chest, something told him that she had no clue what he'd just said. It was just another sign that he should have put an end to this sooner. Taking care of twin boys, cooking, cleaning, taking on sewing, and other chores to help make extra money for them, as well as taking care of the gardening, was too much for any one person to handle. He'd pointed out that she was doing too much in the past, but every time he voiced his concern, it was met with a stubborn glare as she took his words as a challenge to do more. He'd been too damn exhausted to argue with her, and to be honest, he hadn't wanted to fight with her. Things were going so well between them that he hated risking saying or doing anything that would destroy this beautiful truce between them. He liked having his minx in his life and would do whatever it took to keep her there, even keep his mouth shut when he knew that she was pushing herself too damn far. That all ended today. Do you want to stop for a bit? Robert asked softly, even though he was already leading her towards a copse of trees and gesturing for her to have a seat on one of the rotted logs blocking what appeared to be a well-worn path.
I'm fine,
she thought she may have mumbled, but to be honest, she was too tired to know what she was saying or doing. The only thing that she was sure of was that her hands hurt, her legs and feet were sore, she was starving, and she was so tired that just the thought of taking one more step made her want to cry. God, she couldn't keep doing this for much longer, but she knew that she didn't have a choice if they were going to make it home before midnight. She just needed a break, just a small one, and she would be okay. Why don't we just sit down here for a few minutes, hmm? He asked in that tender voice that he'd been using on her since he'd found her standing in the kitchen, struggling to hold it together, and wondering why she couldn't wash the crack in that poor plate away. Close your eyes, Minx, Robert said, seconds later, as she felt his large arm wrap around her and pull her closer. She wanted to argue with him, to remind him that they needed to start moving again. But sometime between the time that they'd sat down and the time he'd put his arm around her, her eyes had shut of their own accord, and her head had somehow found its way onto his shoulder, where it was more than happy to stay. Relax, sweetheart, he said in that damn soothing tone that she just couldn't resist. Well, she did try to resist, but he just felt so incredibly comfortable, and she was so tired that she really couldn't help but take him up on his offer. Just for a few minutes, she decided, as she found herself curling up against him, savoring the irresistible warmth that was emanating from him. He felt so good, she had to admit, as she reached up and gently gripped the lapel of his coat, promising herself that it was just for a few minutes. She just needed a few minutes, and she'd be good. Just a few minutes. Morning, Minx. That incredibly sexy voice that she loved said what felt like seconds later, it's time to get going. Unable to give him the proper response that he deserved, she settled for grunting her displeasure, shoved away from the warm body that she normally loved to curl up against, and rolled over onto her side, taking the coat that smelled like Robert with her, and snuggled against the rotting log, uncaring that it smelled, or that it was probably covered in bugs. She was just too tired to care. Later, she would care. But for right now, she was just going to enjoy Mother Nature to its fullest and return to that wonderful dream where she never had to leave her bed. It was the best dream she'd ever had, and one that she hoped would one day come true. Perhaps today, she hoped with a small sigh and a sleepy little smile as she prepared to return to that beautiful dream. The warm chuckle was not appreciated when the coat that she'd been snuggling up with was suddenly removed, leaving her at the tender mercy of the cold, damp ground. Refusing to accept that her short reprieve was really over, she snuggled in closer to the rotten log, pretending that the small pile of leaves rotting beneath her head was her favorite pillow, and that she was back home in her warm, comfortable bed. "Are you hungry?" Robert asked, for some reason sounding amused as he gently ran his fingers through her hair, pausing every few seconds to carefully pull at something, and earning a groan of displeasure as she turned back over and tried to go back to sleep. But Robert wasn't having it. "Are you hungry?" the persistent bastard asked, earning a growl of warning, but unfortunately for her, it came out as more of a whimper and a pathetic moan more than anything. "No," she groaned, pulling her arms up over her head to protect her poor eyes from the early morning sunlight, threatening to destroy her and her illusion of comfort, even though she probably was starving. Actually, there was no probably about it. She was starving simply because she'd refused to be stuck working at that inn until the end of time paying off their debt. She'd made sure that Robert was fed and got what he needed, but she'd refused to be worked like a dog over a bowl of porridge. She wasn't the weak Englishwoman that they'd taunted her for being. She was strong, independent, and could take anything that they'd dished out to her because... "You have a spider in your hair," Robert said, interrupting her inner monologue of triumph and determination and reducing her to a hysterical woman screaming like a lunatic as she jumped to her feet and ran blindly through the woods, not really caring about where she was going, or that she kept running into branches, tripping over her own 2 feet, or the fact that Robert had fallen to his knees, barely able to breathe because he was laughing so hard. Oh, but once she'd made sure that the spider was dead and gone, she would care. And so would her insensitive husband. Chapter 8.
You're going to catch pneumonia,
he absently pointed out with a chuckle, when his incredibly beautiful and extremely angry wife shot him a look that should have rightfully killed him on the spot. Then again, he had absolutely no doubt that the little minx was planning on beating him to death once she was done with her impromptu dip in the pond. Not that she'd consciously made the decision to take a bath after a mad dash through the woods when he'd foolishly mentioned the tiny spider crawling on a strand of her hair. He should have remembered that time when they were kids, and a spider had fallen from the ceiling during tea, landing on her arm, making her scream her little head off, and, admittedly, scaring the hell out of him. That is, until he realized what happened, and started laughing, and hadn't been able to stop, without the help of his mother shooting him a glare that had quickly helped him regain control. Unfortunately for him, his mother hadn't been here to help him this time, and he'd wound up laughing his ass off at his wife. Now, in his defense, he'd tried, God how he tried, to stop laughing. But every single time he thought he had it under control, she would scream hysterically when a leaf brushed her hand, or when she swatted blindly at her tangled hair, twigs, a squirrel that made the mistake of coming down a tree to get a closer look at the mad woman screaming and running blindly through the woods, tripping over her own 2 feet every few seconds, until she finally stumbled through the woods, slipped on a patch of mud, tripped over her skirts, and did a nosedive into the pond. That's when he'd stopped laughing and moved his ass to save his bride, but it was too late by then. Not only had she seen him laugh, but she probably also blamed him for the spider. Again, he considered pointing out that it was a very tiny spider, barely big enough to hold onto a strand of her hair, but he knew better. She was exhausted, hungry, humiliated, and pissed, and he was the reason why. So to make sure that he didn't make this any worse, he planned on standing here, guarding his wife, and waiting for her to calm down. It also didn't hurt that he was safely out of her reach here, but that her aim was off when she was pissed. Otherwise, he'd probably be covered in mud balls, and have welts covering him from head to toe, from all those rocks she seemed to find at the bottom of the pond every few seconds, and liked to throw in his direction with a murderous glare. "We are not speaking," she reminded him, with that same frightening glare, as she stopped trying to clean her tangled hair in the dark, murky water, and returned her attention to finding another rock to chuck at him. "Why not?" he asked innocently, simply because seeing her this pissed off at him was entertaining him. It probably shouldn't, not with the truce they'd agreed on. But God, it just made his day to see her this riled up and angry with him. She'd always entertained him, and he was glad to see that would probably never change. Especially since the angrier that she got with him, the worse her aim became. Christ, he'd lost count of how many times that simple fact had saved his ass over the years. Her beautiful eyes narrowed as slits as she reached down, grabbed another handful of mud and rotten leaves, and chucked it in his direction. It landed 5 feet away, landing harmlessly between 2 trees and scaring the hell out of a couple of birds. A little muscle beneath her eye ticked as she blindly reached for another handful of mud. "I hate you," she snapped, tightening her hold around the handful of mud and rotted leaves she'd managed to scoop up. He opened his mouth, admittedly, to taunt her just a little more, when something about that handful of mud caught his eye. He shut his mouth, swallowed hard, and moved to go to her. But unfortunately for him, at that same moment, his beautiful, brave wife realized what she was holding and promptly passed out.
"Don't open your eyes."
Robert, her normally level-headed, calm, and extremely rational husband snapped, sounding somewhat hysterical and bringing up her level of terror to a whole new level she'd never thought possible.
"Are they gone?"
she whispered, almost too afraid to say it any louder, terrified that it would either make her pass out again or vomit, because if she thought about what she'd seen for even 1 second, she would probably lose it. Kind of like the way that Robert was apparently losing it right now. She'd known him since she was a baby, and she'd never seen him like this, heard terror in his voice before, and considering everything that she'd done to him over the years, that was actually not a very comforting thought, because she'd done some really disturbing and mean things to him over the years. Never once had he reacted like this before, and honestly, she prayed that it never happened again. Yes, he answered hesitantly, sounding more like a question and not really reassuring her all that much while she laid there, face down in the mud in the middle of the woods where anyone could stumble across them. There was also the fact that she could feel his trembling hands moving over her skin, plucking here and there and making her wince and squeeze her eyes shut as she desperately tried to think about something else, anything else. But with every pluck and brush of his fingers against her goosebumped skin, she was reminded of what he was doing. She slowly licked her lips, trying to find the courage that she needed to ask if he was lying to her. But before she could manage to ask, she felt his two strong hands gently grab hold of her hip and shoulder and slowly roll her over onto her back.
Oh, fuck me no, he said hoarsely.
She knew that she shouldn't have opened her eyes. She did. She wasn't stupid. She knew what she was going to see. But more importantly, she knew from Robert's tone that it was definitely something that she didn't want to see. Yet knowing all of that didn't stop her from foolishly opening her eyes, raising her head high enough so that she could look down at her body and scream.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, fuck me no, he said before he could stop himself.
And God, how he wished he'd stopped himself, because he knew exactly what would happen once the words slipped out of his mouth. But he couldn't help it. He really couldn't. He'd known what to expect after seeing her back, but nothing could have prepared him for this. Absolutely nothing, he thought numbly, as he stared down at the beautiful body that he loved holding at night, the one that brought him joy and pleasure, as well as the one that created his children, the only people on this earth could rival Elizabeth for his heart. Swallowing hard, he reached out with a trembling hand, prepared to remove the first one marring her skin, when he realized that she was screaming. It took him a few more seconds to realize that his still screaming wife was now sitting up and slapping somewhat hysterically at the black blobs covering her body. But it was useless. The little bastards refused to give up their treat quite so easily.
Get them off!
Elizabeth screamed, startling him enough to move his ass and grab her hands before she could make it worse.
Stop,
he snapped, pressing her hands down by her sides and holding them there when all he wanted to do was tear the little blood-sucking bastards marring her skin off and throw them as far away from her as possible. But he couldn't do that. One of them needed to remain calm, and unfortunately for her, it had to be him.
Minx,
he snapped, giving her a little shake, just enough to get her to stop screaming and trying to fight him.
You're okay.
Her scream ended on a gasp as she forced herself to stop fighting him. It was probably one of the hardest things that she'd done in her life, besides taking a chance on him, that is, and he was proud of her. He leaned in and pressed his lips against her forehead as he kept his hold on her arms, terrified that she would try to remove one of the leeches and end up tearing her skin open and exposing her to an infection that could take her away from him.
I'm going to get them off, sweetheart, but I need you to stay still, he whispered,
praying that she wouldn't argue with him for once, and thanking God when she actually listened to him. With a little nod and a little sob that nearly killed him, his brave minx closed her eyes and lay back down on the cold, muddy ground, completely trusting him to take care of her, to do his job. Closing his eyes, he slowly exhaled, praying that he could do this without losing his fucking mind. Knowing that he couldn't put it off any longer, he opened his eyes, picked up the small twig that he'd sharpened, and set to work, using the trick that his brother had taught him when he was a child, and had made the mistake of trying to use a leech as bait, thinking that it was easier to use than a worm. It hadn't been. If it hadn't been for his brother, he'd probably still be running towards Scotland, screaming and trying his best to tear the large black leech off before it could devour his arm. Before he could make it 50 feet, James had him pinned to the ground and was calmly using the tip of a small stick to remove the leech. He never thought that trick would come in handy, and he sure as hell hadn't thought that he would need to use it on his wife one day. Then again, he never thought he'd be married and hopelessly in love with a little girl that had once dubbed him Robert Lemonade. He mused with a sigh as he set to work on removing the large leech attached to Elizabeth's hip. Chapter 9 Elizabeth. Don't, she said, pausing to lick her lips as she tightened her arms around herself, taking a slow, steadying breath as she turned her head away, not caring that her eyes were already closed and that she couldn't see him. She just needed to look away.
Just don't.
Sweetheart, they're gone, he said softly, as she felt his hand touch her arm, making her flinch as the memory of what had covered that arm only moments ago flashed through her mind. They weren't gone. They would never be gone. But she couldn't say that, because he didn't understand, and hopefully he never would. She just needed a moment to forget that she'd just spent the last 3 days scrubbing floors in a cockroach-infested inn to make sure that her husband, who really should have known better than to eat anything that Mrs. Kinley cooked, recovered, that everything they owned was either stolen or destroyed, that she was starving, exhausted, had just taken a bath with leeches, was now sitting on the cold, wet ground, covered in mud, naked, and that her dress was now a mud-soaked pile of shredded rags, or that this was easily the worst trip that she'd ever been on. She just wanted to go home, scrub every inch of her body, pull on one of Robert's shirts, snuggle with her baby boys, and pretend that this trip had never happened. I'm sorry, Robert said softly, as he carefully took her hand into his. It's fine, she lied, deciding that this trip had been bad enough, and that they didn't need a fight on top of everything to make it worse. She just wanted to go home and pretend that this had just been a horrible dream. I'll make this up to you, Minx, Robert said, for the first time in their marriage, making her a promise that she knew that he would never be able to keep. But she didn't say anything, mostly because she was struggling not to cry. She was exhausted, hungry, cold, wet, covered in mud. Her skin stung and itched from where the leeches had attached themselves, and she was miserable, absolutely miserable. All she wanted to do was crawl on Robert's lap, bury her face against his chest and cry. But she would never do that to him, because she knew how hard he'd worked so that he could take her on this trip. I'm fine, she mumbled, refusing to give in to the tears and make a bigger fool out of herself. She just wanted... Oh, Minx, Robert said hoarsely, as she suddenly found herself exactly where she wanted to be. I'm fine, she mumbled with a sniffle, as she wrapped her arms around him and held him tightly. He sighed heavily as he wrapped his arms around her and stood up. Sure you are, he said, gently placing her on her feet, and stepped back away from her. But before she could register the loss, he pulled his shirt and coat off and quickly wrapped her in it before he leaned over and swept her off her feet and sat down. I will make this up to you, he said, as he leaned down, pressed his lips against her forehead. I swear to God that I will make this up to you. Knowing just how hard he'd worked to save for this trip, and what saving up for another one would mean, she shook her head. She didn't want him getting up before the crack of dawn, or working until he could barely see straight. She wanted to wake up in his arms, already crying out his name as he made love to her, and she wanted to fall asleep in his arms every night like she used to, before he started accepting every job and order that came his way. She wanted her husband back, and if he was determined to make this up to her, it would probably be a long time before that happened. No, she mumbled, putting her arms around him and held him tight. I just want you. You already have me, he said with a chuckle, as he rewarded her with another kiss. She closed her eyes as she pressed her forehead against his chest and held on to him, letting go and just relaxing in his arms as he held her tighter. I love you, Minx, he said, kissing the top of her head. So damn much. I love you too, she said. Well, more like mumbled, since she was in the process of falling asleep. He chuckled as he kissed her again. Go to sleep, Minx. She wanted to argue with him, open her eyes, get off his lap, and walk the final 10 miles home. But opening her eyes, or moving for that matter, seemed impossible. Well, if she was going to be completely honest, she'd admit that after several days without sleep, and months surviving on just a few hours a night, she was exhausted. Plus, being in his arms like this felt so good that she couldn't make herself get up, even if she'd been able to. There really was no better way to fall asleep than in the arms of the man that she loved. He'd seriously fucked up, and now his wife was paying the price. He never should have been so stubborn. He never should have brought her on this trip. He never should have turned down his brother's generous offer to pay for a proper honeymoon. He should have known better than to eat anything Mrs. Kinley cooked. He should have... Christ, there were just too many should-haves. He'd made too many mistakes, made too many bad decisions. Now he just wanted this nightmare to end. Unfortunately, he had to wait to end this until nightfall, because he refused to allow his wife to walk on the side of the road in broad daylight, wearing only his shirt and coat. It just wasn't happening. So that left him with no other choice but to stay here with her and wait until the sun set. That, of course, meant that he needed to at least get a fire going and see if he could find some food for... Oh, hell, he muttered, when he should have jumped to his feet and ran as fast as he could, getting Elizabeth away from the spot before the little bastard had a chance to raise that goddamn tail and spray them. Unfortunately, by the time that he thought about getting the hell out of there, it was too late. The skunk, who'd stumbled upon them, had turned, raised its tail, and sprayed them. Even though it was too late, he tried to stand up and get Elizabeth away from the stench. But unfortunately, he could barely see. His eyes stung, and his lungs protested the stench that now surrounded them. As much as he would love to pick his wife up and get her out of there, he couldn't. Thankfully, he didn't have to worry about waking her up and carrying her to safety, because within seconds of being sprayed, she woke up coughing and gasping, jumped to her feet, and stumbled her way towards fresh air. Then again, he mused as he watched his wife running to a different spot, trying desperately to get away from the stench that now clung to her skin and clothes. It was probably pointless to try and run away at this point. He considered telling her that it was pointless to try to run away, but he just didn't have the heart to tell her. So, instead he glared at the little bastard as he walked away with his tail still sticking up in the air, as Robert leaned back against the tree, trying to ignore the stench surrounding him. When the skunk stopped, just before ducking beneath a hedge to make his escape, and turned his head and glare at Robert, he considered killing the little bastard and roasting his ass over a fire, but that damn tail twitching in anticipation, ready to spray him again, was the only thing that kept him from killing the little son of a bitch.
"Oh, my God,"
Elizabeth said, coughing as she turned around and ran the other way, clearly not accepting the fact that there was no outrunning this thing. He shot one last glare at the hedge, where the skunk had made its escape, before he got to his feet, as he tried to rub his eyes without pushing the smelly spray clinging to his skin into his eyes, and failed.
"Son of a bitch,"
he growled as his eyes stung and began to water. He stumbled back as he tried to rub the oil out of his eyes, tripped over a root, and fell on his ass, his bare back slamming into the trees behind him as he fell, scraping his back to shreds in the process. He ground his teeth and closed his eyes as he tried to breathe through the pain, but it only made it worse.
"Robert,"
Elizabeth said, sounding concerned as he struggled not to lose it and say something that he was going to regret later.
"I'm fine," he bit out, cursing softly as the stinging got worse and the uncontrollable coughing began again. "Oh, Robert,"
she said, sighing softly as she came closer, and unfortunately for him, doubled the stench that was currently choking the life out of him.
"I'm..." Hoarse cough. "Fine,"
he managed to get out, as Elizabeth cupped his face in her small, warm hands. "We need to wash your face," she decided, as he continued to cough so hard that his chest was actually beginning to hurt from the strain. Wash his face? In the leech-infested muddy water? He'd rather go blind. But he couldn't say that to his wife, since he knew that wouldn't end well for him.
"I'm fine,"
he said, tightly through clenched teeth as pain shot up and down his back. A heavy sigh followed, the very one that she used when one of their sons did something to vex her, like tearing off their nappies so that they could pee in a corner, distracting her while the other one snuck into the kitchen.